You might like to turn in your Bible to the Gospel of John and chapter 20. And perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, thank you very much just that we can say it. Thank you for caring. Thank you for your word. Thank you very much, Spirit of God, as you honor your word. It's just, God, help us. And we'll thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen. In our exercise of the Gospel of John, we come to the end, as it were, of the Gospel of John, chapter 21 being a little addition of some information. So, and as we come in chapter 20, and we share together that many of the signs, verse 30, truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. Now, so what do we need to know? God has given us the Old Testament so that we can understand God's wonderful outworking of history and where he is. So all of the Old Testament brings us to God sending his son, born in Bethlehem of Judea. And thus, so God, how are you going to help us understand? You gave us the Old Testament. How you help us to understand the giving of your Son? God gives, as we shared, four windows, as it were. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Matthew is going to show our Lord Jesus Christ, among other things, as King. And Luke is going to show our Lord as the Son of Man, and Mark is going to show him as the servant of God, and John is now going to sum it up by showing him as God. He's the King, he's the man, he's the fulfiller, the Savior, the servant, to fulfill the will of God, and he is thus God, presenting himself as our Creator and as our Savior. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, so the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, are not to give a biography. They're not to give a history. It isn't about that. That isn't why they're written. They're written to help us understand God's wonderful, wonderful purpose. And therefore, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John will select. God selects and is choosing in the writing of those books. God selects that information that pertains to what his purpose is. So we look through all four windows to see God's wonderful person in the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore he's very selective. What John leaves out, someone else puts in. Now, so in the process, and it isn't just to give us information. It's to give us an understanding of God, to have his life, in a most wonderful way. And therefore, over to John chapter 1. In the beginning, you remember, just to remind ourselves, in John chapter 1. And picking up if I can, in verse 1, John 1, verse 1. And in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. He is the wonderful God, the wonderful Creator. who is the awesome Savior, verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So God, the Word, becomes flesh. So the Word, the person of God, is made known to us in a wonderful way by his words. God gives his words about the Word. God is going to show and explain and help us understand by words. What is he using the words for? To understand the Word. The words to understand the Word. That's what they're for. Now, and keeping that in mind, to give us a wonderful, wonderful life in a most wonderful, wonderful way. Over again now to add to that, over to the book of Acts, and in chapter 1. And in Acts chapter 1, and you will note, please, Acts chapter 1, picking up, please, if I can, directly in verse 2. Until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion, after his death, his resurrection, showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. So, as we begin the book of Acts, he's going to unfold the how God is going to go and be a wonderful Savior in the body of Christ. Now, but in verse chapter 1, verse 3, after the passion by many, many infallible truths. And the word infallible truth is one word, and it has to do with a fixed, certain sign of truth. A sure thing, the truth of a thing, the reality of a thing, the certainty of a thing. God says, what did he do? By his passion, his death on the cross, he made it very clear that he is going to show his resurrection. That's what he did. He did it with many infallible proofs. With great certainty, he showed his resurrection. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, back over, if I can, to John chapter 20. And in John chapter 20, picking up in thought, and in verse 30, what we did, 20:30, and many other signs did Jesus in the presence of his disciples. Now, remember now, of all the different times God used signs in the Gospel of John, all that he used them. Always it's with not only the disciples there, everyone else is around. The only other place that he uses the word sign, talks about his signs, his wonders, is when he walked on water, John chapter 6, to the disciples. All the other times, everyone's there. The disciples are there, they're all there, they're all witnesses to it. Now, but we're looking at the resurrection. In verse 30, many other signs did Jesus in the presence of his disciples. And what do we know? Many infallible proofs his resurrection. He has given his wonderful, wonderful word so that he's going to show, and God showed us. In John, God picks resurrections, chapter 19, 20, and we read them. And all the way down to where it has to do with Thomas, He made it very clear, each illustration with Mary, with the women, with the disciples in the upper room, a week later with Thomas in the upper room. He's making it very clear that these people that were with him for 3 1/3 years, as it were to have a clear, wonderful clarity of his resurrection. It was something that's impossible to believe, impossible to understand, and yet it's very real. I am the resurrection and the life, and he that believeth in me shall never die, verse 36, 26. God, you're going to show your awesome person to the disciples so that they, who are going to bear witness and give us the New Testament, they are going to have a wonderful surety of your resurrection. So there's no question. But there are many, many other signs that are not numbered, that God doesn't record to verify to the disciples his resurrection. So there's no question. The disciples were all over the place, but we don't have them. God, you don't need them. You just need to have what God gives, why God gives it in his most wonderful way, to affirm God's awesome, wonderful resurrection. So here are all these signs. Signs are done in the presence of the people. So what? So that they can know, that they can understand. And in the process, John 20 and 28 in that, 29, Thomas, blessed, verse 29, blessed are they that have never seen. They have never seen anything. And we shared together last time, to understand that God in his wonderful, wonderful grace showed himself and went out of the way, as it were, from using our English where we are. God did what he did to help his disciples. Even Thomas, who was the doubter of all doubters, he questioned beyond question. And he was confirmed, my Lord and my God, verse 28. Now, so here's all these signs to the God to confirm to the disciples about his resurrection. We don't have no record of him. But for 40 days and 40 nights, he was there showing himself alive in all kinds of ways that we don't know about. But we don't need to know, don't need to understand. So God, because better, you are everyone that wasn't there in the upper room for 3 1/3 years during the Lord's public ministry, that's a little dot in time. What about everybody else? No, better. It is better for them. They are blessed by believing. Now, having said that, over to Peter. Oh, before you do, Peter, go over to Matthew and chapter 17. Matthew and chapter 17. And you will note, in chapter 17, picking up, please, the thought, if I can, Mount of Transfiguration, our Lord takes Peter, James, and John up to the mountaintop. And in going to the mountaintop, he, in chapter 17, verse 2, he is transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the snow, as the light. In other words, God is awesome person, let himself be revealed, like to Moses, show me thy glory, Exodus 33. Here's Lord, our Lord at the mount, and he's going to show and let out of his physical body, which looks like just ordinary, he's going to let out the evidence of his indwelling presence and the light as the sun. In him is no darkness at all. The light shined. Now, that was awesome. So therefore, and you know, behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elijah, talking with him. And they knew that. They knew in God's wonderful way. And they knew. And then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here three tabernacles, tents, one for thee and one for Moses and one for Elias or Elijah. And that's wonderful. It's a wonderful, the wonderful time. A super duper retreat, a super duper time. We don't want to lose this time. We want to capitalize on it and keep it. Verse 5, while he yet spake, behold, the bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, the voice out of heaven of the cloud said, this is my beloved Son, whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. Now what happened? They were going to stay invisible with a visible, after the mountain, a visible view of our Lord and Moses and Elijah. It's invisible, like Thomas. Unless I put my hand in your side, I don't believe. Well, here they are. They have this wonderful exposure. They don't want to lose it. Thomas doesn't want to lose it. But blessed are they that never see me. So here they are in the Mount of Transfiguration, and God covers it immediately takes a cloud and blocks it out, as it were. Verse 6, and when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. And when Jesus came and touched them and said, arise and be not afraid. So when they lifted up their face from the ground, verse 8, they lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. So it's blessed are they that have never seen, never seen, never. You don't need to see the invisible God. You need to trust him. And now, therefore, how are we going to ever know? You've given us your word. Christ is born in Bethlehem of Judea. Christ died on the cross. God is going to show himself in a most wonderful, wonderful way. Now, having said that, to put together what he's saying, John 20, 30, over to 1 Peter. And in 1 Peter, and in chapter 2, better go to 2 Peter. 2 Peter in chapter 2. And you'll note, chapter 2, verse 16. We have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. But were eyewitnesses of his majesty. We actually saw Moses and Elijah. Verse 17. For he received from God the Father honor and glory. And when there came such a voice out of heaven, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. John 17:5. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. When he came, that's there. But that was a wonderful time on the mountain. Thomas, it's a wonderful thing to have your hand and put it in his side. Verse 4, verse 18, chapter 1 Peter 2, verse 18. And his voice, which came from heaven, we heard. And when we were with him in the Holy Mount, we heard it. So, wow. But, verse 19, we have a more sure word of prophecy. Blessed are they that have never seen. I've given you my word. I'm the word. I've given you my word, the words. We have a more sure word of prophecy, wherein we do well, that you take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star rise in your heart. You want to be honoring my word. honoring it. Believe, believe, believe my word. You don't need to see. That isn't what the issue is. There's no way you're going to go by what you see. Actually, remember, our Lord, they're with him. They see him day and night for 3 1/3 years. What did it do? It didn't do any good. What he had and what they had, they didn't have any life. He had it. They were in the presence of one. They were in the presence of the Son, but they never knew the Son. They never had the Son. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Son, and they had not yet become sons. It isn't theirs. They haven't possessed, don't possess the life that you read about. You read about it like we did in Sunday school. You read about it, but you don't have it. You don't have it. You're supposed to have it. They needed to have it. Therefore, many signs were done in order to show. And keeping in mind that 2 Timothy, you can turn there, why not? Just to remind yourself, 2 Timothy. And in chapter 3. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, picking up, please, in verse 16, directly in the light of the context, all Scripture, all God's words, all Scripture is given by inspiration, God breathed, God, outbreathing of God, the Word become flesh, and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, instruction, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, purpose, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. He may have a unique, wonderful relationship to God in a most wonderful way. And so now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, to have that awesome relationship that honors God in every way that it should. And in Romans chapter 10, Romans in chapter 10, so all Scripture is given by God, and what do we know? God has given us his word. And we have the body of truth to be believed. That's what we have. So then, chapter 10, picking up, please, in verse 17. So then, faith cometh. There's a little word, article, the, in front of faith. When you put the article, the, in front of it, you make it specific. Not general, not the whole faith, but faith, the faith. The body of truth that is to be believed, God's word. The body of truth that is to be believed cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So what are we going to do, God? God said, you can't see me, blessed Thomas. Blessed are they that can't. What are they going to do? They've got the Old Testament. They've got the four Gospels. And now, here's the last one written by the Apostle John. He's still going to give us the final summation of the whole thing. The Lord Jesus Christ is God. He's wonderfully, wonderfully God. Now, and so therefore we're going to believe, and God is going to show to the disciples that they believe. They're going to have many signs, many infallible proofs they're going to have so that they can know. Now, having said that, all of these miracles are done in a most wonderful way in all of these signs. Now, having said that, and many other signs, now they need to believe. And in the process, back over to John 20. And in John chapter 20. And may I pick up in thought. And in verse 31. But these are written that you might believe. These are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Son of God, Christ, is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. These are written that you might believe, to be persuaded, to be wonderfully, wonderfully persuaded, convinced, having great confidence. You're going to have a wonderful belief. Why are we going to have it? Because I'm going to go, and these are all written so that you can believe. And you know, here's the word believe in the Gospel of John. 99 times in the Gospel of John is the word believe. Believe, 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 believe. And what's it there for? These are written that you might believe. Who he is? You need to know who he is. He's the Word become flesh. He's God in his awesome presence. That's what you need to know. Thomas had to go through a whole lot to find that out. You don't have to. These are written so you can just plain believe. Honor God, the Creator, the Savior, in a most awesome, awesome way. Honor God. So therefore, you need to believe. And in the process, they had all these opportunities to believe and to believe and trust God. But in the process of doing all of that, trusting God, they didn't trust God. They could have trusted God. He is in their presence. The disciples, yes. And the people that were there, they could know, they could believe if they wanted to. Now, having said that, picking up, now let's take a little exercise in that. God, what have you done? You've done something wonderful. Back over to Hebrews 2 for a minute. In Hebrews chapter 2. And you recall, as you begin the book of Hebrews in the light of our study of the book of Hebrews, and you read it, chapter 2, book of Hebrews, verse 3. How shall we escape, us believers, we believers, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken out by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him, God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders and divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will. He had all kinds of ways to evidence. Now you know from Romans chapter 1, and you got that, keep in mind, Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3 and 4. God showed himself in all kinds of ways, not like unto Thomas. He showed himself with signs and wonders and miracles, all kinds of things that evidence who he is. So if they had a question, they didn't have to question anymore. All they had to do was pay attention to what God was doing, and only God can do it. Therefore, tie that together in your mind, over to Romans. And in Romans in chapter 1, remember, picking up, keep putting the pieces together, chapter 1, verse 19, Romans. Because that which may be known of God is manifest, made public, clear, plain, simple. Was manifest where? In them, as we shared 1,000 times. God, there's no one born on planet Earth that God doesn't introduce himself and make himself known. He's the Creator. And in a wonderful sense, you know that Buddha isn't God. You know that a kangaroo isn't God. You know that the sun isn't God. And you don't need to be very old to know that. They're not God. No. God makes himself known clearly, simply, wonderfully. That's how you'd reach people in any country. You just take the world around them and say, where did it come from? And there's no way to explain it except to look to God. Now, having said that, in them, verse 20, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world, invisible, are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power, awesome power, creation, flowers, birds, bees, bugs, eternal power, and Godhead is deity. He's awesome. God is an awesome, the invisible God, so that they are without excuse. They have no excuse. They have no excuse. So God showed himself. But he didn't. It's blessed are they that never see. I've given them all kinds of evidence. All kinds. Hang on. All kinds of things through history. But they don't believe. No matter what I did. It didn't do much good to believe. Now, over if I can, to take in your Bible, over to the Gospel of John. Gospel of John and chapter 6. In the Gospel of John, chapter 6, you would recall, may I go to verse 25. 6 and 25. And when he had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when camest thou hither on the other side? Verse 26. Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat the loaves and were filled. You weren't seeking me from what I did. You had motivation. Food, why do we like the government? You give us $1,000 a week. You give us food. You give us everything. You give us everything we need. And take care of our medical costs so high, but not to us. We don't have any problem. Are you all patriotic? Are you all committed to the Constitution and Declaration, defense of our country? Are you? No. We just like what we're getting. We like it. We like it. They liked getting the food. They liked all that stuff. It makes it easy. Why? They didn't believe. No. Over if I can. Sliding down. Verse 28. Then said they unto him, What shall we do that we might work the works of God? Remember, they're going to show them to provide everything. In other words, we'd like to be able to do the magic that you do in providing us food. Verse 28. Then said they unto him, What shall we do that we might work the works of God? And Jesus answered and said unto them, This is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he shall send. They wanted to do, the end of verse 28, works, W-O-R-K-S, works. It isn't works you do. It's not by works that we do, works of righteousness. It's God's work. Singular. God's work saves on Calvary's cross. God, one work by one person, namely God himself. And what are you going to do? You're going to believe in the God himself. What's the purpose of the Gospel of John? To believe. To believe. Now, sliding down if I can. That's what they want. What's verse 29 again? They needed to believe. And they didn't believe. They should have believed, but they didn't. Sliding if I can. And they did all their reasoning, and they needed to know. Verse 35. Verse 34, little context. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. The bread from heaven, manna. Verse 35, And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life, and he that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. A wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. But your motivation isn't to know God. Your motivation is to have God provide for you. And you don't care. If it isn't God, it can be somebody else. Anyone do it. We're happy with it. Now, chapter 6, if I can. And in verse 14, going back, chapter 6 and verse 14. Remember now, he fed, verse 11, he took the loaves, and when he had 6 and 11, And Jesus took the loaves when he had given thanks. He distributed it to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were with sat down, and likewise of the fishes, and as much as to his the loaves and the two fishes. Here we are. Wow. And God fed 15,000 people, at least. That's a lot of people, I got to tell you. A lot of people. From little baskets, from two little fishes. And, but the point, in all the signs and all the wonders and all the things you're doing, God. Verse 14. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, This is of a truth, that prophet that should come into the world. In other words, this must be the one that's coming to help us and give us everything. Verse 15. When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone. In other words, they want him, but for the wrong reasons. The wrong reasons. Chapter 12. So all the signs and all the miracles that he did. To believe, that's what he did. Chapter 12. Picking up, please, in verse 37, 12 and 37. But though, right, verse 37, 12, straightway, but though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. They just didn't matter. Signs, wonders, miracles, super duper. Interestingly enough, without losing it, when the Antichrist comes along, he's going to do his things, and they're going to follow it. Like in John 7, you wouldn't follow me, but you will follow him that comes. You will follow him. That's what you're going to do. Now, in the light of that, over to Matthew. And in Matthew chapter 14, I said Matthew 14, which is, don't jump. Before that, chapter 4, Matthew chapter 4. Matthew 4, chapter 4, verse 23. And Jesus 4 and 23, the ministry of our Lord Jesus, signs, wonders, miracles. And with the disciples after his resurrection, he showed him many things to assure and to lock it in. Here with the public are there, five loaves and two fishes, that's wonderful. But, that's a drop in the bucket compared to what he did. Chapter 4, picking up verse 23. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of diseases among the people. Thousands. Well, we've got to put all the pieces together. They kept coming. You come. You didn't walk away. Be healed one after another, all over the place. Wow. Many signs, many miracles, personal. Chapter 11. And in, remember, John the Baptist wanted to know, what is the signs? What are the symbols? John chapter 11. And in chapter 11, picking up, please, John the Baptist. And Jesus answered and said unto them, go and show John again those things which you do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk, and the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached unto them. That's there. God gives. Tell them all the wonderful things that are happening. The deaf, the blind are seeing, the dead are rising. I'm doing all kinds of illustrations to make it very clear, very simple, very easy. Over, if I can, chapter 21. And in chapter 21, picking up, if I can, verse 14. And the blind, I'll read 13 just a little. Then said unto them, it is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. And the blind and the lame walk came into, and the lie, and the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. Everyone that came in, he healed them. Thousands just did what he did. Wonderfully did it. But they weren't paying attention to that. So all the signs and all the wonders don't solve the problem. In the millennium, a kingdom, 1,000 years, everything's perfect. Everything's perfect, as it were, as comparatively perfect. But they didn't believe. They didn't need to believe. They had all the benefits. They had everything. They didn't have a problem with health, didn't have a problem with war, didn't have a problem with the weather, didn't have a problem with anything. And they just believed. All they had to do was believe. But they never believed. Till the end of the millennium, they rebel as the sand of the sea. Now, having said that, in chapter 21, and again in verse 14, and the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. So he did all kinds of wonderful, wonderful things. But it didn't do. So if you just do something with me, say something, be with me. No, it's a heart problem. And you gotta fix the heart. You gotta get your heart right with God. And if you don't get your heart right with God, it's not gonna do any good. Now God, Israel, demonstrated all the signs and wonders and miracles didn't do any good. They crucified him. He's going to take the disciples and show them many, many wonderful truths about his resurrection so that they are absolutely sure, no question, that he's risen again. Blessed are they that believe not. Now, God, what was the result of all of this? Matthew in chapter 6. Do this the other way. Matthew chapter 12. And you would recall Matthew chapter 12, and picking up, if I may, in verse 38. But certain of the Pharisees, scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from you. There's your sign. Show me a sign. Many other signs, John 20 and 30. Many other signs. Show me a sign. Now, verse 39. And he answered and said unto them, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. But there shall no sign be given to it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. For, as Jonas was there 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. That's what it's going to be. The only thing I'm going to show him is my resurrection. No more signs. I'm going to show them they want a sign. Chapter 16. Chapter 16. And you will note, chapter 16, picking up in verse 4. Just remember the context, verse 4. In the morning it will be, verse 3, 16, 3. In the morning it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O ye hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky. You got the weather report, you got all of that, but you cannot discern. You do not understand the signs of the times. You don't read, you don't understand. Therefore, verse 4, a wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. There shall no sign be given unto it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. And he left them and departed. The sign of my resurrection. Another is going to come. You want signs. I'm not going to give you any more signs. No more signs except my resurrection. Another will come and show you signs that you want to see. And you'll follow them. But I'm not showing you any more signs. No more. Blessed are he. Blessed is he or she that believes on the Lord Jesus Christ. To believe, wonderfully, wonderfully to believe, that's what you need to do. The only sign I'm going to give him is a sign of my resurrection. John chapter 10 again. In John, I said John 10, I did say that. I know I said that. And John 10's very good. I am the door by way. Okay, any man come in, he shall be saved. Go to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. And tie it together. Our Lord Jesus said, I am the door to the pasture. Romans chapter 10, picking up, going directly to verse 8. But what saith it? The word is nigh, right in front. You got it right in front of you. You got a Bible. What saith it? The word is nigh unto thee, even in thy mouth, in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That, what's the, that what? If you shall confess with thy mouth to say the Lord Jesus Christ and shall believe in thine heart. In other words, the Lord Jesus Christ is the one who died and he rose again. All of these are written to understand. Blessed is the person that doesn't, the best is the person that believes without ever seeing. I died on the cross and you believe. Right, I believe. You give us his word so that we know. Here's 20 chapters to know. Without, here's the whole Bible to know. And therefore, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, verse 9, the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. What are you going to do? The only sign you're going to believe is that I rose again. I'm going to take the disciples and show them many, 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 many ways to understand about my resurrection, so that when they say, we preach, Acts chapter 2. How did they introduce themselves? We're preaching the resurrection of the Lord. The reason we're saying anything is because Christ has risen again, Acts chapter 2. He's risen, and we're showing it. The only sign I'm going to give him is the sign of the prophet Jonah. You believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, and that's the only sign. That's right. But the world wants signs. The only sign I'm going to give him is that sign. In a most wonderful way. Now, and by faith, you got to believe. That's what God said. Everyone, anyone can come to know you, Lord, as the Savior and Lord. All they have to do is by faith believe that you are who you are, and you say who you are, and you died on the cross, and you rose again, and you're able to save us to the uttermost. A wonderfully wonder, and we're to believe. We're to believe. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, if you can, in the process, do you know to believe, to have confidence, to be fully persuaded, to have a commitment to believe, to believe, to believe. All right, we're going to go and believe. So therefore, what are we going to do? We're going to rest in who he is and what he is and all that he's done on the cross. That's what we're going to do. We're going to believe. We're going to believe in a most wonderful, wonderful way. Now, so in the process, what am I going to do? I'm going to believe the pew was the pew. Old illustration. You don't make the pew the pew. You believe it is a pew, a seat, and you sit in it. You allow the pew to be the pew. When you eat food somewhere, you eat food. You allow the food to go down and produce physical life in your body. You don't make the food nutritious. You don't make the food. You just believe it. You believe the pew. You believe the dentist when he does whatever he does. You believe he's going to go in and fix the tooth. You believe. You let the dentist be the dentist, and the food be the food, and the pew be the pew, and let God be God. That's what you do. Let God be God. You believe in the pew. We believe in the food. We believe in God. Let God be God. Let him be the Savior. How? Believe. Believe. Not hard. These things are written so that you can believe. Why have we got them all? Pages to believe. But I don't want to believe. Then you won't. You don't have a problem. You have to believe. Now, how many believe? They don't want to believe. And our Lord said, I'm not going to show you any more signs. Remember, a lot of people say, show me a sign. See? Show me a sign, God, and I'll believe. God said, no, I'm done with signs for the moment. Anyway, I'm done with signs. You need to believe. I'm done. I rose again. You can't have anything more solid. And the evidence, the people that bring the evidence have a sure, and therefore I say to you, Hebrews 2:3, how shall we escape if we neglect, we're indifferent to so great a salvation? Our Father and God, we thank you for thy word and thy work and thy grace. Help us to understand and grow and know God, just us. Thank you very, very, very much. In Christ's name, amen.